Okay, I hope this works. Okay, so as I was organizing this, I got very overwhelmed with the details, as I said before. And I said, Rena, like, what's going on? You've done 100 of these things in the past in Detroit, you know, and you're in the shul, and what happened? And then I realized that Beth did all of the technical details. Like, she said to me, okay, Rena, we're having this thing, and we would talk through the events and how it would be organized, and she said, okay, you do the Dry Torah. And then she organized everything else, and which is why, even though I had been involved in so many events, I got overwhelmed with the details here because Beth did all of that. So that really hit home. The theme of the evening is Olam Chesed Ibaneh, which is something that Beth really embodied. And I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Mrs. Ricky Rabinowitz, who is Beth's teacher in Sharfman's. I know that she that they had a very, very close relationship, is my understanding. So if you'll please... whoever's comfortable for you.
So good buff, everybody. I thought I'd see more familiar faces. I'm happy for the ones I do see. And it's touching to me to see how many people I don't know all the years that I didn't keep up with Beth as exactly as I could have, all the people she touched in the meantime, all the lives she touched, and this is just a drop in the bucket because this is Eretz Yisrael, and she was not in Eretz Yisrael except to visit. And look at how many people cared enough to come on a very rainy, let's say Shabbos, to get together to honor Beth's memory, and not just to honor Beth's memory, but actually to express the feelings that come with understanding Beth. And when I was preparing for what to say tonight, and I was told, limit, we have 3 speakers, don't go over 20 minutes, it's not a question of the time. It's really a question of what's the message? What's the message of the evening? And it's quite an auspicious evening because it's Matzei Shabbos Parshas Zohar. We're going in the week of Purim. It's a time of Simcha. It's a time of Adar, which is a time of Simcha. It's not a yahrzeit, so it's not that her yahrzeit will always fall in Adar, and we have to think, how are we going to balance Simcha and yahrzeit together? Her Shloshim came out now in Adar, and I think it's auspicious that it's on Motzei Shabbos Parshas Zohar, because when we read today about Zohar, when we read about Amalek, we were reading and we were focusing on the antithesis of Chesed. Because Amalek represents something completely opposite of Chesed. When we think about Amalek, we look at the words in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ashekorcha baderech. Ashekorcha baderech is lashon of krirus, of coldness. Cold, detached, not connected. That's not just who Amalek is. That's what Amalek wants from us. To be cold, to be detached, to be not caring. That's the essence of Amalek. When we say we have to eradicate Amalek, we have to eradicate that coldness. We have to eradicate those feelings of disconnect that are so much part of the world today. Part of the world today, it's unbelievable how part of the world disconnect is and how part of the world disconnect is for us. Because the bottom line is what goes on in the world goes on for us too. We're Jews. We're from, we do things different, and we are affected by our environment, just like everybody's affected by the environment. So when we look at Amalek and we look at Klal Yisrael, we look at the embodiment of Amalek and the embodiment of Klal Yisrael and the oppositional force between the two of them, this is the point I wanted to focus on. The chesed of Klal Yisrael versus the krirus, the coldness of Amalek. So let's look at Chesed, and when we look at Chesed, we go backwards in time, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. We find our first pillar of Chesed, who was Avraham Avinu. We know that the Midah of Chesed is the Midah of Avraham Avinu. What we don't always focus on is the environment in which Avraham Avinu was Chesed. What was the environment in which he came to be? So the last thing in the Parshas Noach, just before we get to the existence of Avraham Avinu, we learn about the Dor HaPlugah, the Dor of Nimrod. Now, what's really interesting about the Dor of Nimrod is that if you read that first pasuk where the Torah introduces the Dor of the Plagah, of that generation of the Tower of Babel, the pasuk looks really positive. Vayhi kol ha'aretz sapha echas udvarim achadim. United people. We talk about achdus, we talk about being united, we talk about having unity, and we say, oh, what we're missing nowadays is achdus, and achdus is so important. And this is the environment into which Avraham Avinu comes to exist, an environment where there was Safa Echas Udvarim Achadim. People were united. Vayomru Isha Re'ehu, Hava Nilbin Alevenim, Benisrafa Lusrefa, Batihilahem Alevena La'evin, Vahachimara Yolahem L'chomer. They said, let us build a tower. And what was the goal of the tower? Hava Nivna Lanu Iru Migdal, Vroshal Bashamayim, Vina'ase Lanu Shem. There was a goal here. There was an interesting goal in the time of Nimrod, which was the goal of, it was actually the precursor of nationalism. Nationalism is about a group of people joining together under a common flag with a common goal. And when you join together under a common flag with a common goal, the individual gets put aside, and the focus is on, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. The focus is on, what can we accomplish all together? And the individual falls to the wayside. So much so that in this tkufa of the building of the tower, the Medrash tells us that if a brick would fall, the people would go into mourning. But if a person would fall from the scaffolding, they would just continue working as though nothing had happened. Because the goal was the project, and the goal was not the individual. This is the environment into which Avraham Avinu comes. And Avraham Avinu says, something's off over here. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, as he discovered, as he figured out, and he created people, and people are different. And not only are people different, but Hashem creates for the needs of all the different people. So there's something being lost in this achdus, in this togetherness, and the loss is the loss of the individual. The individual is not important. And when the individual becomes not important, when any person becomes not important, then the purpose of the world is lost. And Avraham Avinu was the one who becomes a yachid. He's called Avraham Ivri. Everybody's on one side, he's on the other side. He's an individual. And he begins a system, which is a new system. It's a system of a group of individuals. Va'eschol goy gadol, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Not that the individual is going to have to disappear for the sake of the group, like it was in the time of Nimrod, but rather the combination of the individuals, the joining of the individuals, is going to be what's going to make Klal Yisrael so special. Because we're all going to be different. And there's no greater affirmation to that than Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov Avinu gives the brachas to each one of his sons, and each one gets a different bracha, because each one is an individual, and he doesn't say to them, chuck your individuality and become a group. Chuck it all, and let all that go fall by the wayside, because we have to unite. He says, hold on to your individuality, and limit your individuality only where it impedes to becoming a group. Be an individual within a group. A yachid shebeklal. That's the essence of Klal Yisrael. Who's the forerunner of this? The Amud HaChesed. Avraham Avinu. What's the chesed over here? It's an awesome thought on chesed. Is the understanding that chesed is not just about being kind to another person. Because if you don't know the other person, there is no chesed. You can't be kind to somebody you don't know. It's about getting to know the other person. Like they say the joke, you know, the husband's supposed to bring flowers to his wife because that's what he's supposed to do. Erev Shabbos, go out and buy flowers for your wife. But check first if she's allergic to flowers. Mm-hmm. Because if she is and you buy her flowers, it's not chesed. The essence of the yachid, of understanding the individual, and then connecting individual to individual, with the greater goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the essence of Klal Yisrael. Along comes Amalek, and they say, what we need to do to accomplish what we want to accomplish is we need to break two things. We need to break your connection to each other, and we need to break your connection to your past. If we can destroy those two pieces, we got you. Haman, comes before Ahasuerus and says, Yeshno Amechad, Mifuzar Umifurad Bein Ha'amin. Mifuzar, spread out from each other. Umifurad, and separated from their source, from their Avram Avinu, from their Yitzchak Avinu, from their Avos and Imos. Now we have a chance to get them. Because when Klal Yisrael's Yechidiyut, when our individuality becomes separate and separated, then Haman has a chance. Then Amalek has a chance. Exactly what Amalek did in Parsha Zachar, what we read today. Asher korcho baderech vayizanei v'chol kol nechashalim acharecho. That was what Amalek wanted to do, to disconnect us. The essence of the chesed that goes on in Klal Yisrael is not about kindness. It's not about being nice. It's not when we say chesed, we say, oh, that's so nice, that's such a chesed you just did. It's not chesed unless it's about knowing the other person. This is an area where I think Beth was really unique. I knew Beth when she was a young girl out of NCSY, and she came to Sharfman's. And she came because she wanted more, because she wanted to grow, because she wanted to learn. Beth smiled all the time. She was a happy person. She was balanced. She had a sense of herself and a sense of the people around her. She had a sense of her family, of her connection, of where she's coming from, and a sense of the school. You know, sometimes people flip out in Israel. It's one of the things that happens in seminaries. People come, they flip out, and then they kind of lose contact with their family, or they lose contact with the school. They flip in, they flip out. She didn't do that. It's one thing that was very unique about Beth. I was a young mother at the time. I had little children at home. And when she'd come in the house, she'd be helpful. Not overly helpful. Not at the expense of herself. Not at the expense of compromising what she was here to do. When she went back home to her family, she didn't go back home to her family and say, okay, guys, now I know the truth, and I've come to educate you, and I'm going to tell you what to do. She came home with so much respect. I know because I come from Muncie. And I would visit in her house when we'd go there. The mayor of Spring Valley was her father. And I'd go there to visit. There was so much mutual respect in her life. Knowing the other, respecting the other, connecting with the other. The essence of what Beth left us in this world, the essence of what Beth did with her family, what I heard she did out there in Michigan, what I heard that she did in her life, and the way she stayed connected with her friends from all over. The essence of Beth was connection. When I tried to find a word, I said, that's what she was. She's a connected person. And the real underlying essence of chesed, the underlying essence of Klal Yisrael as chesed, is about connection. And if we can do that, if we take a message from Beth's existence, from the impact she made on us, the connections she kept up, the pleasure with which she greeted me on Shavuos when I came to visit her when she was here, and it was yentif for her and not for us, and I had a wonderful opportunity to visit. And that connecting feeling, that's the essence of what I have from Beth. When I introduced Beth to somebody else way back when, I said to the other person, you got to meet this girl. She's a jewel. And I think that's what Beth was. She's a jewel. A jewel in whichever setting she was. She retained who she was, what she was, mutually respectful, balas chesed, involved with other people, and the Amalek never got her. Never got in there. The coldness, the disconnect never got there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give chizuk to her family, to everybody who she left here, to her friends, to all of us together. And we should be zochet to just connect a little bit more. As we go into Purim, and we see that all the mitzvos of Purim are about connection. Mishta v'simcha is connect with your family. Rashi says mishpacha. If you don't do it with your mishpacha, you miss the message. Mishloach manos ish l'reyehu, the friendship circle. Matanos l'evyonim, the broader circle of Klal Yisrael. All the mitzvos are about connecting. So if we can focus for even for one moment in the course of the Purim on connecting and how connection is the essence of Klal Yisrael, Beth will have left us a legacy that will live on long after she's gone, through her family, through her friends, through all the people who got to know her. Thank you.
opportunity, there is a notebook in the kitchen, a hardcover notebook for people to write their memories of Beth. It's very important to Judah. He asked several times through several people to please make sure that the notebook is here. So if you could please just take a few minutes and fill it, even though I know it's very difficult to put our thoughts and feelings down on paper, but it's really important for Judah and the family.
It's a hard act to follow. Don't worry, we're not having a seven-page sheer now. Instead of cutting and pasting, And we are doing Shema Basha Bas Yosef. I want to speak about a combination of words that we use all the time in regard to Chesed that we don't really understand what it means. Mishnah in Perkei Avos in Source 1 tells us Shimon HaTzadik was Mishairei Knesset HaGdola Haya Omer Shal Shedvarim Ha'olam Omei Ala Torah Val Avoda Val Gemilos Chasadim. So you take a look at your nice English translation. It's irrelevant which English translation you'd like to use. Translate Gemilos Chasadim as acts of loving kindness. What does the word gemilut mean? Isn't acts of loving kindness chesed? How do you translate gemilut when we talk about gemilus chesedim? So that's the question I'd like to, very briefly, because there's this another speaker after me, speak about. What is gemilus chesedim? So one way, I'd like to look at two levels. One way of Gemilus Chesed, Rabbi Yedid Mikra Kodesh, says the following. He says, Yesh li dok v'lachor tasiruf ha-lishoni hazeh gomel chesed. Ma'am ha-ishmur to'ot. He says, Im na'yein he-tev nimsa ki midat ha-chesed ha-shpatzma yesh va-koshi atzum. Hi mashbiya et ha-hefech ma-otzma. Chesed perusho hashpa'ah. Chesed is about giving. But the one receiving the chesed has a feeling of chesed, of something lacking, that he is made talui b'makabel. This is the challenge. When you give to somebody else, the recipient then feels beholden. The recipient then feels like, I'm embarrassed to look at this person. You know, they've done so much for me. Gomel chesed is from the idea of to be kikmola le'imo. Gomel is shepeirusho siluk ha-hashpa'a. The word in gmilus chesed is the ability to do chesed to another in a way where the other is no longer dependent upon you and you have removed that feeling of shame and of dependency. And this is indeed, Rabbi Yudit says, what the Medrash is about. When Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam HaRishon, Bo v'nigmo chesed la'Adam HaRishon v'la'azro. Let's give to chesed. What was the chesed? The chesed is that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon and then said to him, now that I've created you, go out. L'chu b'kochachem zehala v'kibu ha'olam. We've created you, we've invested. And this is the idea Rabbi Yedid speaks about in Source 5. When Chazal tell us in Mishnah and Perkei Avos, Ha'amidu Talmidim Harbe, not to teach many students, but Ha'amidu, allow them to stand on their two feet. Allow them to be able to go forward on their own. This is what the model of Chesed is about. To be able to do chesed in a way where the person doesn't feel like they're beholden to you, but rather you give them the feeling that you're just helping them out for them to be the best that they can be. The idea of chesed on this level is the idea that the Alei Shur speaks about in Source 13, that chesed is predicated on the inyan of havaah, Ki patorach tiftach et yadcha lo v'aveit havitenu dey matzaro asher yachzar lo. And here the Groth speaks about very beautifully the double lashon of patorach tiftach. He says, when you look at your hand and your hand is closed, you'll notice that all your fingers are basically the same size. Patoach tiftach, when you open your hand, you notice that your fingers are different. The word of chesed is to be able, asher yechzar lo, says Rav Wolpe, to give every person tailor-made what they need. Not one size fits all, but rather to be able to see what the individual needs and to be able to fill that need. A normot. The asterisk in 15, the 14, some people need kesef, some need avodah, some need eitzah, some need refuah, some need ruchnia. Every person needs something else. And as Ricky mentioned, the key of doing chesed in 17 and chelek aleph of Rav Wolpe is sever panim yafos, is haras panim. It's being able to really take an interest in the person and be able to help the person. Ba'asher husham, who is this person? How can we help them? You know, and again, I've given this shiur many times, and when I was re-preparing it and thinking of Beth in mind, it's like so many things just jumped out at me. One, being a preschool teacher. That was, and Judah kept on saying this, he said she was a brilliant preschool teacher, not only in her creativity, but in her ability to really tap into the kochos of the children. That's chesed. That's being able to teach each child patoach tiftach, being able to see what the children need and to be able to respond to that, to be able to really feel the depth of a situation. I know I got an email during Shiva of a former student of mine from Afike Torah who worked many years ago, 8 years ago, as an aide for Beth in Detroit, in Akiva. And she told over the following maaseh, I think it's such a reflection of a mahus of chesed. Aside from all the chesed we know about in terms of the giving and doing in the community, but the chesed in terms of tapping into the persona. She said that, my student said, that she worked as an aide, a shadow of a girl with special needs, or a student with special needs. And she would take the kid out, my student, his name was Dina, would take the kid out that she shadowed and walk her to the car in carpool line. If any of you remember carpool line in the back in the good old days, you know that it is one big, one word is what? Horror. Horror. That's the best word to describe it. If any of you have that recollection. So this mother of this student would wait for Dina to come out so she could choose with her how her child was doing. Well, that then caused a backup of many cars. So it happened one particular day that one mother who was getting annoyed by being slowed down let her annoyance come out at Beth and screamed at her, you know, what's going on here? Da, 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 da. And she said it was amazing to watch. And this is what Ricky was talking about, balanced. She didn't get upset. She didn't get, you know, flustered. And she didn't even say to the mother, this is a special needs child. This is why she's coming and talking. She kept the dignity of everyone involved. She just said to the mother, you know, you're right. This is really not called for to hold up the line. It will never happen again. And she left it at that. And then she said to Dina privately, she said, you know, I have a better idea. Why don't you have a corresponding notebook with this mother that you can send her back and forth, and in that way you'll solve the problem of the carpool line. That's what we're talking about, Asher Yechzar Lo, being able to look at a situation, being able to respond to a situation, but in that sense of balance and in that sense of Gomel Chesed, where the person doesn't feel in any way that you're doing them this Chesed. And rather, you know, let's come up with another idea. Let's build them up at that time. But then there's another understanding of Chesed. And this is even a deeper level of chesed. And that, my friends, is a second meaning of what chesed means. Rav Schwab, in his Sefer, notes in 21, we say in the morning, v'tigmalenu chasadim tovim. What is the word of chasadim tovim? The word gomel means literally to ripen. When a fruit ripens, it's called gomel, as vayigmol shketim. Gomel chesed is to bestow kindness on another above and beyond. This imagery of ripening. What's pshat? So Stechaim explains, Reb Chaim Friedlander's Atzal, the source 20. He said, a chesed shavra vinu, he tasek imor chav haya chesed eloki, lo chesed enoshi. And he quotes here the Maral in Tiv Olam, who says in Tiv Kamilus Chasadim, what's the difference between staka and chesed? Staka hi chesed enoshi. Hanoveya mitzadim akabel, it's about the recipient. Shanote misapek lo etzrachav umashlim etachaser lo. The level that we just spoke about, Vasher Yetzar lo, the Maral describes that as staka. Kolecha betem lamasha chaser lo. Gamashir chaser lo susler kovalav o evel larutzlfanav. Stuck is about filling in that gap. Ulam chesed, that's stuck. What is chesed? Hu mitzad hanotein. Hachafetz leitiv av imi she'eino zakuk l'kach. It's not about the recipient. It's about the giver. Vayig moshkeitin, you want to do chesed. Your whole life is about chesed. Your life is about giving. It's not that someone needs it, but rather you have a need to give it. You have a need to supply to others. And as Rav Dessler speaks about in Source 31, this is really great. Maybe I should do this more often. So the fast version of my shiurim. Rav Dessler speaks about, only those who sat through an hour shiur can appreciate that comment. Rav Dessler speaks about in 31. We know that there are two types of people in this world, and there's no in-between. You're either a giver or a taker. That's your machos. In any situation in life, you can distill it down. Are you giving or are you taking? This is somebody who is gomel chesed. Whole life is about looking for opportunities to give. And it's difficult, it's painful to take. And we know this. I mean, Beth was working mamish till the end. And we tried in so many ways to get the community to help. And Beth's response was, I don't need help. I don't want to take. Finally, a friend finally said, Beth, if you were in this situation, you would be giving to that person. So if you would want to give to another, then let somebody else be able to want to give to you. That was the only way to get her to be able to receive, because it was an anathema to everything she was about. She was a person who, by nature, gave. And I'll just add, in terms of speaking from the family, she gave with class. You know, anytime she came to visit here, she would buy my kids gifts that were like brilliant gifts, not like fancy, but things that were needed. It's an ability to be able to know how to give and how to give right and know what to. She was a great shopper. She's like, you know what I'm saying? Not in a, you know, I like going out shopping, but in a, do you know what I'm saying? This was a compliment. What'd you say?
It's a big compliment.
It is a big compliment. If you know how to shop, it's a compliment. This is the idea that Sifti Chaim speaks about in 39, quoting Rav Dessler, of Vaytalech Chanuch et Elokim. So what was it about Chanuch that he walked with God? So he was a sandlar. He was tofer. He sewed shoes. And it's brought down that when he would ash called tzira tiyechas akav tova, when he would sew the shoes. So Chazal say he was, the Medrash says he was meyached yichudim mekona. He would be having like all these spiritual, you know, incantations to God, which Rav Dessler says isn't that he was, you know, studying Kabbalah. I don't know if they had Kabbalah, whatever they had in those days. He wasn't studying Kabbalah. What was he doing? What was meyached yichudim mekona? That every stitch he made, he said, I hope this shoe is strong enough for the person who's wearing it. The entire mindset is about giving. The entire mindset is about chesed. And this, I believe, is a is with the persona of what we're talking about here, a person, Rav Dessler, whose whole mahus was giving, a person whose whole persona was, when I'm teaching, I'm not teaching, you know, I'm only teaching because I love the children. I'm teaching because I want to build each and every child, Hamidu Tamid Maharpe. I'm teaching as a sense of chesed. I'm teaching in a sense of love. In my humble opinion, and I know this is based on absolutely nothing, I just feel like in our day when there's lo aleinu, so many tragedies, I just feel like Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I need a good gananet up in Shemayim. I have these special children up there. I need somebody to take care of them. And you know, this is her love. This was her entire life. This is what it was about. And I'd like to conclude with what I think is, if I had to pick one source that really epitomizes what the idea of chesed. Again, the first level, making the person not dependent on you. The second level, just to give, not about the recipient, about you. You want to be a giver. I think the key nekuda of chesed that came to my mind is moving back to source 30. Mishnah from Aaron Cutler. This is such a gavaldic source. He says, V'kevan shekol tachlus sabriya hi chesed, the entire creation is about chesed. Gam hadam chayav linach eikhein, and therefore we, matati odeo, also have to be involved in chesed. U'ma gam dutbu be'etzem yitzirato kol chol shel chesed v'atava. And we know Kadosh Baruch Hu implanted within us this kol chol sanefesh. K'mo shemru chazal, chesed omer yivrashu gomel chasadim. Chesed wanted man to be created because that's all essence of Gemilus Chasadim. V'zeh shamru, yotemri ma sha'ego rotzeli no, kapara rotzel lahanik. The para wants to give. We have a desire for chesed. Ki tachlito shel ha'adam lo lekabel ma'olam ela latef alashvia. This is the tachlis of a person in this world. We're here to give. We're here to be mashpia. V'zoi suras ha'adam shenivra b'tzelem. That's the definition of someone who's created b'tzelem elokim in the image of God. Therefore, if you want to have tveikus to Hashem, it's to walk in the ways of chesed and rachamim. Shibazehu may be at sura selam elokim shibo, lide tachlito v'tikuno. In doing so, when you're involved in chesed and rachamim, you bring the tsura selokim that you have within you to its tachlis, to its potential, to its tikun, to its ultimate completion. And I'll say, and I said this so many times to Beth, whether she was conscious or not, I said to her, I can't thank you enough, Beth, for I don't know, some schus, some koach, for that I had the schus of being with Beth the last 2 days of her life. And I was with Beth, little Beth we called her, in the hospital and then in hospice, and I really believe that this idea of chesed, which embodied the whole essence of what Beth was about, is really the reflection of an individual who was one who took that Tzel Malokim, that inherent nature of godliness, and developed this to the fullest. And having the schus, and I say it was a schus, of being with Beth, b'shas p'tirat ha'neshama, it was an experience that my brother and I both felt was the birth of a neshama, where you mamish felt ashras ha'shchina coming down, almost like the birth of a baby, and taking this neshama up into Shemayim. It was a very, very powerful experience, where you really felt she had done her tafkid in this world. She has developed the tikkun of her suras, Hatzelam Elokim, to the full extent that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted her to, and at the right time that Kadosh Baruch Hu deemed, which for us was way too early, but at this time you almost felt that Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo ba'atzmo came down like in a mamish, in a mita neshika, and just lifted her soul up into a higher place. Shetehei nishvata tzuriya b'tzura chayim, and should be Kadosh Baruch Hu should give nechama to all of us who are left forever.
everybody. So if you could please share, which is appropriate anyway. Okay. So the part of the Megillah that often gets kind of pushed away, I know that, you know, I know a lot of people, not me, who get bored by this point. You know, you're up to Perek Tet, and the story seems to be going on and on and on. Okay, it finished in, like, Perek Vav, and here we're up to Perek Tet already. But the super important part of the Megillah, I think, happens here in Perek Tet, when we learn about what's the connection between Purim and the rest of our lives for now and, you know, as long as it will go. So if you would start with me in Pasuk Tedvav of Perek Tet, Vayikalu ha-Yudim asher b'shushan, gam b'yom arba'asar l'chotash azar v'yarku b'shushan shalosh meot ish u'vavizel lo shachu ad yadam. This is the extension that they got in Shushan to kill more people. U'shar Yudim asher b'mdinot ha-melech nikalu v'amod ha-nafsham, ונוח מועדיהם והרוג ושונאים 75,000, ובביזה לא שלחו את ידם. ביום 13 הלכות של שדר, ונוח ב-14 בו, ועשה אותו יום משתה ושמחה. At that time, they made it a day of משתה ושמחה, והיהודים אשר בשושן נקלו ב-13 בו, וב-14 בו, ונוח ב-15 בו, ועשה אותו יום משתה ושמחה. Also in שושן. על כן יהודים הפרוזים היושבים אצלו, אצלו, this is why everybody does it then. Everybody makes this a time of Yom Tov and Mishteh Mishloch Manot. Mordechai wrote these things down. Remember, Mordechai is a member of the Sanhedrin now, is one of Chazal, is now establishing for the generations how are we going to commemorate what happened on Purim. וישלח ספרים על כל יהודים אשר בכל מדינות המלך החשברוש הקרובים והרחוקים לקיים עליהם להיות עושים את יום 14 לחודש אדר ואת יום 15 בו בכל שנה בשנה. Now this is for all, for perpetuity. There you go. Okay, forever and ever. קיימים אשר אנחנו בהם יהודים מרוויהם בחודש אשר נהפך להם מהגון לשמחה ומעבר ליום טוב לעשות אותם יום משתה ושמחה ומשלוח מנות איש לרעהו. Now he's adding an extra element, whereas before they were doing Mishteh, and then they were doing Mishloach Manot. Now Mordechai is adding for all eternity to Matanot Evyomim. V'kibel ha'yudim et asher hechelu la'asot, v'et asher katzad Mordechai aleihem. The Jewish people accepted this. That this is going to be how they would commemorate what happened on Purim forever and ever. And if you look at these mitzvot of Purim that we know, Kriyat Megillah, okay, that makes sense. Mishteh, that makes sense also. You know, it's like a Yom Tov. Chazal wanted originally to make it a Yom Tov with no melacha. And then we add Matanot Levyonim and Mishloach Manot. It's like, what are these doing in Purim? What do these have to do with Purim? I understand Chanukah, why I light the candles. Like, the mace was about the menorah. But why on Purim? How does this embody the whole message? So I want to expand an idea that was already touched on earlier this evening. About Mishloach Manot being an idea of chesed, and somehow it seems to be some kind of tikkun for why the whole Purim story happened in the first place. So if you look in source number 2, the Midrash HaGadol and Dvarim says as follows. Mishloach Manot Ish L'Rei'eru says, Shama Hashem Elokecha Lecha Et HaBrit V'Et HaChesed. This is from the beginning of Parshat Ekev. It says, Hashem will take care of you when you do the mitzvot. Hashem will keep the brit and the chesed. Rashi and other Parshanim on that spot talk about that. We're talking about the chesed of Abraham. He's going back to the Brit Avot, that Hashem will keep that promise. But, says the Midrash, Gadol hu ha-chesed. Chesed is amazing. Shelo amad l'Yisrael b'yimei haman ela ha-chesed. Sh'ne'amar u'mishloch manot ish l'reihu. That what kept the Jews, what saved the Jews in the times of Haman, was chesed. As it says in the end, mishloch manot ish l'reihu. Again, emphasizing the concept that this chesed, this giving of mishloch manot, Matanot Levyonim seems to be a tikkun for why the Purim story happened. And so let's look, skip to source 4. We'll come back to 3 in a moment. And see, how does Haman describe the Jewish people to Achashverosh when he wants to kill them? Me'omer Haman l'melech Achashverosh. Yesh no am echad mefuzar u'mefurad bein ha'amim. בכל מדינות מלכותך, ודתיהם שונות מכל אב, ודתי המלך אינם עושים, ולמלך אין שווה להניחם. As Ricky Rabinowitz mentioned earlier, that he's describing them as an Am Echad Mefuzar Mefurad. And I want to posit to you that Am Yisrael, at this time that we're talking about here, did not view themselves as an Am. They viewed themselves as even Mordechai, maybe I'm nitpicking here, but it's called Mordechai HaYehudi. It doesn't say like he's from Am HaYehudim. He's not from an Am. The Yehudim weren't viewing themselves as an Am, necessarily. But Haman saw them as an Am, even though they were Mifuzar, even though they were all spread out, and they didn't see themselves as a unified, cohesive unit, Haman saw them as such. And that perhaps was part of the problem of why we got into the whole Purim mess to start with. In source 5, I brought you examples from the Nevi'im that talk about the first Beit HaMikdash, why it was destroyed. And the Purim story happens only maybe 65 years later, depending on who you follow, but it's just a short time after Chorban Bayit Rishon. Says Hosea, Shimu Dibar Hashem Bnei Israel, Ki Riv LaHashem Im Yoshvei HaAretz. Hashem has a fight to pick with you. Ki Ein Emet V'Ein Chesed. He says, V'Ein Dad Elokim BaAretz. There are three issues that are going on. People aren't being honest and true. There's no chesed. They're not thinking about other people. And they're not acknowledging that there's a God in the land. And Amos says it also. He says, Kama Hashem HaShlosha Pisei Yisrael V'Ala Ba'alo HaShimenu. This is a very powerful nevuah because it comes after a whole slew where Amos first talks about what are the problems of all the other nations, what are the chataim of other nations, and why Hashem is going to destroy them, and then like kind of adds Bnei Israel on at the end of the list, why Hashem is going to punish us as well. And he first talks about Yehudah, that Yehudah did these sins, but just in a pasuk, like very short, and then Yisrael gets a whole list. And the first of the list is Amicham Bechesef Tzadik Ve'evyon Ba'avor Mena Alayim. That they would sell a tzaddik for money and a poor person for shoes. There are many, many parshanim on this and midrashim about this, about selling a tzaddik could be referring to Yosef HaTzaddik, but generally accepted that we're talking about bribes here, that they would easily, they would take someone who's great and just, you know, buy the judgment in his favor against the poor person's favor. But what struck me here is the word avyom. That in the Megillah, when it talks about matanot avyonim, it's not matanot la'aniyim, it's matanot avyonim. So to me this shows even more that the Mishloach Manot and the matanot avyonim are as a tikkun for the chataim that were happening beforehand. And indeed, as you look in source number 3, when Esther takes on Mordechai's challenge to go to Achashverosh, she says to him, "Batomer Esther la'ashiva Mordechai, Lech kenos et kol ha'yudim ha'nishnayim b'shushan, v'tzumo alai, v'al tzachlu v'al tishtu shoshet yamim v'alayla, sorry, shloshet yamim layla v'yom, gam ani v'narotai etzum ken," and then she'll come to Achashverosh, but she says, "Lech kenos et kol ha'yudim." Everybody just fasting on their own isn't going to do it. I need everybody to be together. And how do we know that this worked? Go back to our original source, please. Vayikalu ha'yehudim. In Pasuk Tevav. They all together, that's the only way they were able to fight the enemy, was vayikalu ha'yehudim. And in Pasuk Tetzayin, sh'ar ha'yehudim asher b'zinon ha'malach nikalu. Further on, in Pasuk Yudchet, ha'yehudim asher b'shushan nikalu. This word keeps showing up so many times, we can't ignore that it's there. But it was the making of the kihilah of the people becoming a community together. And the way to become a community, to keep becoming a community, Chazal knew, at that point at least, we weren't all going back to Eretz Yisrael, and we were going to continue to be Mefuzar among the other nations. And the only way to build a community is by giving Mishloach Manot, Ish L'Re'ehu, and Matanot Evyonim. To think about the Evyonim on Purim, you're not supposed to ask questions about the person who's asking for tzedakah, you're supposed to give. You're not supposed to ask for a letter from the Barat Tzedakah or from, you know, which Rabbanim do you have, you're supposed to just give. Because this is what building a kila is about. And Mishloach Manot Ish L'Re'ehu, it's not to people who are less fortunate than you are. L'Re'ehu, it's both aspects. You have the Matanot Evyonim, people less fortunate, and the Mishloach Manot Ish L'Re'ehu, to reach out to our friends and to, as Ricky said, the connections to our friends, to keep that going. And that's what builds a kila. And as we've been mentioning this evening, you know, about Beth's how instrumental she was in building kihilot, using the chesed, of giving, actually, as head of our chesed committee, arranging food for people. And she said to me also in the last few weeks, I spoke to her on the telephone, thanks to Shira, I spoke to her on the telephone, and she said to me, you know, now I'm receiving from the chesed committee. You know, after all those times that she was giving from the chesed committee, which, as I wrote in the book, you'll see, it was so natural for her to be the coordinator for the chesed committee because she was doing it naturally anyway beforehand. And she somehow, as Shira said, she knew, she was able to put her finger on what people needed, and she knew who needed what. And so that was special. I want to now ask Beth to come and give a few words for us. It's Adar, and it's only a Shloshim, so we don't really do Hesfidim, so Beth's words are not designed to invoke tears. But there are tissues.
Are we allowed? Other, I mean, I don't know. I don't want
to. I guess the rabbi.
Can we? No, I'm saying can we each. I just feel like I still. If we want to go and just say a couple words about that, each of us, or is that like a better?
I think it's fine.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe if people want afterwards to introduce themselves and say how you knew Beth, if you want, and anything about her, but we'll let you.
So I was going to say, Rinahu is my spiritual guide and has been for a long time, Baruch Hashem. Reminded me that it was Adar and I'm not allowed to do Hasidim. But thank God I was able to be with Beth for, I don't know, 36 hours, the last 36 hours, 40 hours of her life. And when we were at the funeral, I felt like there was something missing because when Beth moved to Teaneck, she was already sick. And the community really didn't know that she was sick. But they also didn't really know Beth because she wasn't able to do the things that we, who knew her in Michigan, received. And as someone who received, I can tell you that when I brought my kids home and they were a year and 7 months, and Beth arranged about 20 families to buy equipment for my backyard to so that the kids would have somewhere to play when we got home, and arranged meals. And I thought, well, I didn't just give birth, so I'm probably not going to get meals. And I got meals and meals and meals and meals. That just was who Beth was. And I'm talking just as a friend who really received, not just as someone in the community, but because Beth was away from her family, and Judah was away from his family. We were a family in Michigan, and we celebrated our holidays together, and we, she was my sister. And when Rabbi Spolter told me that she was really not doing well, and I hadn't spoken to her in about 2.5 weeks, and the last time I did speak to her over the phone, she sounded very, very weak. I just looked at my husband and I said, I have to go. And I called my mother and I said, I have to go. And 5 hours later, I was going. So there was no way that I could not be with her. And just as in the summer when I was in Michigan and she kept saying, can't you stop in New Jersey? Can't you stop in New Jersey? And you know, I used to see my family and I used to see my husband's family and blah, 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 blah. So I couldn't stop in New Jersey. She came and surprised me in Michigan. And it was the first time she had ever left her family and ever left her kids. And it was amazing for us to be together. But what did we do when she came in? We went to the hospital to visit people because that's Beth. Beth adopted older people in our community and took care of them, especially one lady who was a Holocaust survivor. And she really just brought her into the family and just kept her as part of the extended family. Beth's name, Basha, comes in Hebrew, would be translated as Batya. And Batya, meaning the house, you know, part of it meaning house of Hashem. She opened her house on Sukkot especially. She would bring families that she knew from teaching in temple and bring them to her house, not necessarily because she wanted to be a makariv, not, you know, she didn't want to say this is a better life, like you were saying, not that she was trying to tell people I'm better and what I'm doing is right, but just because she wanted to open her house more to people. The day that we got, I think it was Tuesday, but I'm not sure. We got there Tuesday morning? Tuesday, when I went in to see Beth, it was the dumbest thing. Her hospital bed was facing a mirror. I don't know anyone in the hospital that would really want to be looking in a mirror. But anyways, she looked at me and she said, "Do I look yellow?" And she was so like aware of what was happening in the process of her body and so at peace with what was happening that after a while during that day, she brought people into her hospital room and said goodbye to them, her parents, her sisters. She wrote speeches for her children, simchas, that she frantically wrote down. She had such a dignity and such awareness of what was happening. And I think that's something that we can really learn from. That, you know, she wasn't afraid and she wasn't upset and she didn't say why me and she didn't cry, you know? She just, after a while, she called me and said, "I want to be in control, but I can't anymore." And I said, "You're right, you can't anymore. You have to stop now." And that's it. That's when she started calling people in to say goodbye. And she was a very, very strong, special person until the last minute of her life. Her father, just to end, said, as you mentioned, he was the mayor of Spring Valley. So he always told his daughters that they better be careful because if they do something wrong, it's going to end up in the paper. The mayor's daughter, blah, 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 blah. So the day after she passed away, her obituary was in the paper, and it said, "Mayor's daughter." And it was sort of a joke that kept us going for a few days. So she made it into the paper after all. And even though it's hard for me to believe every day that she's just not going to call anymore, we're blessed for the time that we did have together. And look at now what she's done. All of us are spread out over Eretz Yisrael, but here we are together to remember Beth. So thank you for hosting Liz. And we should all just really gain strength and remember when we're facing adversity that there are other things that are bigger than us, and that other people are facing much bigger things, and we should do it with the strength and the dignity and the love that Beth did in her last moments.
There in the beginning. Birth into Yahazu. And I was telling Sheila and Rebecca that I was telling them that at her wedding on my seating card. And I actually believed it at the time, but really when I was thinking about a lot of things, I realized it's not even true. But she wrote, "Maris, thank you for being you, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be me." But the truth is that Beth saw by herself, as a 17-year-old girl, the truth of Hashem, and I had to... And, sorry, I get very emotional. And she went for it. And like Mrs. Rubin would say, and I was telling my kids also, she didn't like a, she wasn't like a, she was very spiritual, but it wasn't like she's like flipped out. Oh, I want this. She saw Derech HaYashar, and she just took that path. And that's what's so striking about her, because she really was 17, and she made this decision in her life. I mean, it's not like NC Swan came and said, "Please teach me religious," because she came, and she's like, "I want this," and she understood what it was that she wanted, and she went for it, and she just stayed on that straight path. She didn't like veer off in any way, and so it's, you know, I was just telling my kids about that because it's very, very unusual to do that. And I hope that my own children would have the foresight to see Emet of Hashem and Torah. And just as a fun, happy memory, because Beth's father was the mayor, so there was a lot of snow in Muncie, and I had my own line. And the best thing about being friends with Beth is that she was the first person to know that there was no school. So she would call me at like 5 in the morning, and I'm asleep. And I know it must be Beth because she's calling me at 5 o'clock in the morning. There's no school. Oh, great. We just shut our alarms and went back to sleep, and my mother would come in at 7. Mears, you don't have to wake up. I'm like, I know already. Like, leave me alone. I already know at 5 o'clock Beth called me. So, and I still, every time there's snow, I tell my kids the same exact story, because my memories of snow are just so amazing. And part of that memory is just having Beth call me, and I'm like, and I didn't even have to get up with my alarm, and it was so, every single time. And it doesn't happen that often that there's snow, but, and every time there's snow, I tell them the Beth story. So, and does anybody remember what Beth's car's name was? Nobody here was here, Beth. She had a name for her car, and I can't remember what it was, but she had, yeah. And she had all those pins, remember, in the roof? She had a name, I can't remember. But anyway, there were many.
Gonna plague me.
What?
Yeah, it's going to plague me.
So yeah, I know.
I'll pull you a present.
That's a grandma.
Her father said at the Shiva, and this goes into best clarity, that when it came time to make Havdalah, so he was looking at his watch, you know, when is Havdalah? And invariably, when he wanted to make Havdalah, Beth was in the bathroom, until he caught on that Beth wanted to make sure that Shabbos was really out. So she knew the way to do this was what? To go to the bathroom for 3 minutes and come out. He got wind of this. He finally said, "It's Havdalah time, Beth, time for you to go to the bathroom."
So I just wanted to say I'm Liz, and I feel like I was just, I know Beth from Detroit. We lived in Detroit for 3 years. I was just a blip on the Detroit, a tiny blip on the Detroit radar. And many of us talk, we have a lot of negative things sometimes to say about Detroit, but the one thing that I care about, I don't regret making Aliyah, I love living here, but if there's one thing I miss from Detroit, it's the community. And Beth really exemplified that for me. I think our first day there, somebody came up smiling with a meal, and I think it was her. And you spoke a lot here about doing things, about the accepting of grandmother, going out there. It's freezing in Detroit. You don't want to leave your house, but Beth was always doing things. And now, especially these past week when it's been so cold here, I say to myself, Beth, like, she did things. That joy, that love of life, her smile was always there. Even was freezing out in the morning, we would all go to daycare at Akiva, and she was smiling, you know. And she wasn't like this annoying smiling person. Like, it was a real, it was just a real full of life. And I carry that with me in the cold weather all the time, thinking Beth would do things and go out there and keep that smile, that true smile on her face that I know.
I just want to say, as her sister-in-law, I was the Aliyah conscience of the family, still am. And so when my brother met Beth, he had made a mistake the first time around, and he wanted the family to meet her. And so he brought Beth to meet us, and we just all liked her right away, you know, and we had the critical eye. We had such a critical eye. We didn't want him to make another mistake. And we were making a surprise birthday party for my mother, Alas Shalom. It was her 60th birthday. And Beth was all involved in the preparation, but she wasn't engaged to my brother. She didn't really want to be public with my brother. And she was leaving the day before. And as she became so involved with the family, she started thinking maybe she should push off her trip, but she decided not to, which was very chaval. But it was so nice to come for their wedding and just feel simcha. And it's hard. What?
They got married this time.
Yeah. They got married. Mamash before Purim. Would have been 13 years. And you know, it's very hard actually, Purim, because I always think about my kids dressed up in their Purim costumes at her wedding, and the pictures, and the, how excited she was when they came and surprised her in their Purim costumes, and she was just the ganenet there at the wedding, just being super aunt. And you know, she's Aunt Beth more even than, because when my son got into Makor Chaim, I called her up the next day and I said, Beth, it's cold there, and I know there's sales now. She was super shopper of the family for sure. And I said, can you please, you know, get some stuff on sales? Within a week, I don't know if the person who lives in Rosh Tzurin is here. So that's at Zocheret Masha Sachaf Bishvileinu. The most humongous duffel bag. And my son opened it and said, who wears this much clothing? And it turns out that my second son is also learning in the Gush, and whatever was too cool looking for my first son is perfect for my second son. And as snow was snowing in the Gush this week, my kids always thank Aunt Beth because she really clothed them. And every present, every little, even sketch-a-doodle that's perfect for the car. And I was telling my brother that my sister and I, when Beth got sick, we wanted to like buy her something. And we always felt like she always gives us, what can we give her? So they were making Pesach in Detroit for the first time. So we decided to buy a really pretty matzah cover. And we sent it to them. And my brother said, we didn't have a Seder plate. It was in Florida. Oh. And I'm thinking, Beth would have gotten a Seder plate, you know? She would have done it right. We just didn't have the knack that she had. And that was it. She just had the knack. And it was always giving. And it was always... you know, what else could you give? And I remember saying to her, you know, what can we give you from Israel? I want to spoil you. I want to get you something. And she said, just stop it. And it was always the last few months, just stop it. And we did. I'm sure we all did. But, you know, that memory and her children, and when I think about the chesed of giving, I just want to tell you a story that maybe we can all take with us. And this was not Beth. This was somebody else. At the Shiva, somebody, Gabi had just mentioned that he liked to rake leaves. And it was his 9th birthday 2 weeks ago, last Shabbos. And somebody made a beautiful cake of a little boy raking leaves. And that, you know, if we all can take the chesed of looking beyond and seeing what we can do, Beth probably would have made that cake for somebody else. But I thought that was very beautiful. Thank God they're in a community that is really taking care of them, and she always moved it. That was one last thing I want to say is Bichlal, getting married to somebody who had a child who was always part of a fight was not an easy thing. And I always say, Beth, you're such a saint. That was always my line to her, Beth, what you've gone through. And she did, but she was such a great stepmother and such a great mother, and you know, she did what she did, and she did it with love. And I have a lot of respect for her.
Can I just add one thing to that? Okay, Mr. Levin, well, I'm not sure I did have the skill to be with her, not when she was nifter, but before. And everything everybody said is, you know, and we're talking about how much Beth gave us all. And the one thing she gave to everybody, even though she stood up for who she was and what she was and didn't waver with who she was, okay, she went the right way, her way. But the one thing she gave to everybody is unconditional love. That's what I got from that. And total acceptance for who I am. And that's how I saw her with every person I saw her interact with, whether it was a little child, and I don't remember now because I was only there at the end of the shiva, but some parent said something about this. He felt that Beth had saved his child the previous year. His child didn't quite fit in. She took that child by the hand every day in class. And that's how she was with older people that people have been referring to that I met them, and the letters that came in from old women in her 90s wrote a letter of tribute to Beth with such beauty. So I think what I'm going to miss about Beth most is that love that I got from her and caring. And I think we were all of us here who knew her were very lucky to have been touched by her. Carrie, I hope.
Okay, thank you again, Liz, for hosting us. If anybody feels like eating, there's still lots of food if you want to wait a few minutes.
And write in the book.
Please.